Chapter 2. The Ancient in the Modern. Attempting a long history of Pakistan, there are worse places to begin than the 5,000 Years of Pakistan, an Archaeological Outline, by R.E.M. Wheeler, published in 1950. Its preface noted that the book was intended to present the imposing material heritage of Pakistan to the outside world. An equally important purpose was to preserve this inheritance for future generations of the newborn nation. Wheeler was the Director General of the Archaeological Survey of India from 1944 to 1948, and thus found himself in the middle of that tumultuous period which saw the birth of Pakistan. He took up an advisory role in the new state, helping to organise its archaeological department and establish a national museum in its capital, Karachi. He became the first president of Pakistan Museums Associations and played a mediating role in the partition of their historical heritage between India and Pakistan. Of course, the title of his book is itself a willful paradox, for Wheeler argues for a 5,000-year history for a nation just born. Considered state propaganda, the book set out to trace a long history of Pakistan, and Wheeler followed it by writing another book, The Indus Civilization, 1953, that celebrated the major sites of one of the oldest civilizations in human history, now located inside one of its youngest nation-states. The legacy of Wheeler's mission is mixed. The sites are there, and his name is preserved in the history textbooks of Pakistan as the country's founding archaeologist. But one wonders how a modern-day Wheeler would be viewed in Pakistan, with its identity struggles. Much later, another book, The Indus Saga and the Making of Pakistan, 1996, followed, taking forward the archaeological vestiges laid out by Wheeler. Its author, Azaz Asan, politician and lawyer, attempted to uncover the true bedrock of Pakistan's national identity, buried under the glaciers of myth. By dividing the history of this legendary age of Indus from the everyday realities of a shared memory between India and Pakistan. Asan claimed that the Indus had remained independent of and separate from India for 5,000 years. He alludes to two distinct regions: the Indic region of India's Gangetic Plains and the Indus region of Pakistan. In doing so, Asan continued the reaffirmation of the idea of two nations. However, ancient topographical boundaries, migrating people, and shifting and changing languages rarely observed the constraints of modern hard political borders. This chapter follows Wheeler's outline, from the Indus to the arrival of the first Arabs, albeit in a fragmented way, for the regions that make up modern Pakistan. The aim is to give but a glimpse of their diverse historical continuum that increasingly goes under-remarked and unremembered. The material and cultural connections and confluences of these, through the ages, belie the image of a modern monolith, whose history is as multi-layered as its neighbours, just as India's populist politics now share a strong smear of narrow nationalism. The Indus Valley Civilization. There is little disagreement that one of the earliest civilizations the world has known flourished in and around the basin of the Indus River and its tributaries in the present-day Pakistani provinces of Sindh, Punjab, and Balochistan. From around circa 3200 BCE to circa 1300 BCE, there thrived in phases a civilization later named after the river, whose first and famous discoveries were made at Harappa in Punjab and Mohenjo-daro, the Mound of the Dead Men, in Sindh. Harappa, the identifier site by which the civilization is also known, is located near the Ravi River, one of the Punjab tributaries of Indus. Archaeological excavations began at these sites in 1920 to 1921, and slowly lifted the lid from a heritage that has eventually amounted to over 1,000 sites, with 400-plus in Pakistan, spread over almost 800,000 square kilometres, and including all the four provinces of Punjab, Sindh, Balochistan, and KP. These discoveries established that the start of settled civilization and urban culture on the subcontinent was contemporaneous with those in Mesopotamia, Iraq, Egypt, and China. In fact, from Meher, Balochistan, there is evidence of farming communities dating back to the 7th millennium BCE, hinting at a prehistory of Harappan sites. Of these excavated sites, it is Mohenjo-daro in Sindh, with its distinctive citadel mound comprising the Great Bath, Granary, and College of Priests, as well as a bronze female figurine famous as the Dancing Girl, which has become emblematic of this civilization. Similar to Mohenjo-daro, Harappa's citadel, cemetery, and granary have become iconic. This long and diverse culture, distinguished by its typical red and black pottery, terracotta cones and cakes, standardized bricks and copper artifacts, is found in a network of early proto-urban villages, mature and fully-fledged urban cities, and late declining towns. The level of architectural planning found in these two sites was unparalleled in the ancient world. The full breadth and depth of that civilization is a phenomenon still being explored. The Indus Valley civilization is said to have begun to decline around 1900 BCE, and in 1953, Wheeler suggested that the invasion of an Indo-European tribe, the Aryans, had been the reason. However, this theory has since been challenged, and alongside this, it is argued that natural disasters like floods, rising coastline, desiccation, and man-made disasters, like over-exploitation of environment, led to a definite, if gradual, de-urbanization. Thus, as their archaeological traces thinned, their place in this historical canvas was taken over by the oral narratives of the Aryans and their texts. The Aryans, who arrived in the upper reaches of the Indus region around 1500 BCE, brought with them their sacrificial religion and language, Sanskrit. The Rig Veda, the oldest among their oral narratives, was composed sometime between 1500 and 1000 BCE, consisting of a variety of hymns which had been compiled by about 1000 BCE. It and related texts, known collectively as the Vedas, were put together around present-day southeastern Afghanistan and Pakistani Punjab, the region of Saptasindhu, seven sacred rivers mentioned in the Rig Veda. The later Aryan texts were composed further east in the Indo-Gangetic Divide and the Upper Ganges Valley, thus providing an unwitting basis for Assan's two-region theory. The cultural corpus of the Aryans formed a precursor to the Vedic ideas and practices that would metamorphose into the Brahmanical socio-cultural order, feeding into present-day Hinduism. Contrary to the 19th and 20th century invocations of an Aryan race, these Indo-Aryans emerged from the speakers of a subgroup of the Indo-Iranian branch of the Indo-European family of languages. Remnants of these people and language still exist in Pakistan. Indeed, many of the rural technologies, architectural designs, and social ordering that exist today can be traced back, albeit via dotted lines, and notwithstanding state amnesias, to these earlier civilizations of the Indus Valley. Gandhara, Ashoka, and Buddhism. The period between circa 1710 and 200 BCE saw the flourishing of the so-called Gandhara grave culture. The Galagay Cave, a rock shelter excavated in the 1950s to 1960s, was found to contain engravings, paintings, inscriptions and carvings, rock art. Located in the Swat Valley, along the rivers of Swat and Dir, it is thought to be associated with the hunter-gatherer Indo-Aryans before they settled down to agriculture. While both the late Harappan sites and later Vedic societies shifted east and south towards and beyond the river Sutlej, Balochistan and the northwest saw the emergence of one of the six early Iron Age cultures of the subcontinent around circa 1100 to 500 BCE. Evidence of Iron Age settlements can be found in Paraka, Balochistan, and Sarai-Kola. The ancient capital of the Gandhara region of northwest Pakistan, Takshashila, was a major centre of trade and learning. Discovered in the mid-19th century, Takshila is one of the important archaeological sites in the world, but while the excavated site is sizable, it only represents a fraction of the ancient site. The majority remains buried, undiscovered. Situated strategically on a branch of the Silk Road, atop Bir Mound, the earliest historical city of Takshila was established by the Achaemenians in the 6th century BCE. Collectively, the different sites of Takshila, Sarai Dela, Bir, Sirkap, and Sirsuk, represent an evolution of urban settlement through more than 5 centuries. Excavations at Bir Mound had established occupation plans, street settlements, civic planning, houses, drains, shops, courtyards, stoneworks, and terracotta reliefs dating from the 3rd century BCE. The decline of the Achaemenid Empire, 550 to 330 BCE, which originated in ancient Persia and had extended into the Indus Basin, saw the rise of Alexander the Great, 356 to 323 BCE, who knocked on the doors of the subcontinent during his campaign of expansionism and conquest. Gaining control of Gandhara and its capital Takshila, Alexander marched into Punjab. Waging one of his last major battles, Alexander defeated King Porus, who reigned from 326 to 315 BCE, in the Battle of the Hydaspes, which not only left him wounded, but was also one of the costliest battles fought by his army of Macedonians. From the detailed Greek histories, we get a contemporary sense of the geographical breadth of his invasions and of the resistance to them. Alexander left behind an empire which stretched from Greece to the Indus, but internal conflicts and tussles among his successors allowed Chandragupta Maurya, who ruled between 321 to 297 BCE, and his mentor, the political philosopher Chanakya, Kautilya, to expand the Mauryan Empire from the Ganges Plain towards the Indus Valley. The Mauryan Empire controlled most of modern South Asia, from its capital, Pataliputra, present-day Patna, in Bihar, India, from circa 324 to 187 BCE. Today it is remembered mostly for Chanakya's treatise on statecraft, Arthashastra, and for the reign of the Emperor Ashoka, Chandragupta's grandson, who vastly expanded the Mauryan Empire and spread the religion of Buddhism throughout the subcontinent and beyond. In Shahbazgari and Manshera, both in KP, major rock edicts of Ashokan inscriptions have been found. They give an account of the infamously bloody battle against the kingdom of Kalinga, present-day Odisha, India, which famously led Ashoka to renounce war and convert to Buddhism in circa 263 BCE. Remnants of Buddhist history are still scattered around much of North Pakistan, like hidden gems, but they are largely neglected, with few attempts to preserve this non-Islamic history. In Tahir Bahi, in Madan, KP, there is a large Buddhist monastic complex which, appropriately for an area situated at a cultural crossroads, gave rise to the so-called Gandhara School of Art, Architecture, and especially Sculpture, between the 1st century BCE and 5th century CE. Buddhism flourished under the Indo-Greeks, leading to a cultural syncretism with the Hellenistic culture during the Graeco-Bactrian kingdom. This Graeco-Buddhist school is an early example of the coming together of subcontinental themes and Graeco-Roman styles. Working with stone, blue schist, green phyllite, and later stucco, lime plaster, the school specialized in images of Buddhas. On the other hand, the Sawat Valley has produced a number of Buddhist sculptures that have stylistically been linked to the Parthian art of Iran. Indeed, when the great Chinese Buddhist monk scholar Fa Hain, 337 to 422 CE, travelled through Gandhara, passing Takshila, Peshawar, and Banu in 399 CE, He found Buddhism flourishing from Afghanistan to Punjab. Travel, trade, and people. The Grand Trunk, GT, road that forms a horizontal artery cutting through North Pakistan and India can be traced back to the Mauryan Empire. For over 2,000 years, this road has linked the people of Central Asia to East Asia, moving ideas as well as goods and allowing cultures to interact, influence, and merge into each other. In medieval times, the road was upgraded considerably under Shir Shah Suri, who ruled between 1538 to 1545, and then by the British in the 19th century. Although the GT road is divided by international borders, it still provides energy and vibrancy to much of North Pakistan. While the GT road forms a horizontal link across the subcontinent, the mighty Indus River, one of the longest rivers in the world, cuts through Pakistan vertically. Running through the heart of Pakistan and stretching almost 2,000 miles in length, the Indus connects and nourishes people from the Kailash range of the Tibetan Himalayas to the province of Sindh before it flows into the Arabian Sea. Etymologically, Sindhu is the early name for the Indus in Sanskrit. It became Hindu to the Persians, from which the name Indus travelled to the Greeks and Indus to the Romans. Thus, the land of Sindhu, Indus, gave its name to the civilization and the people living there, around, and beyond. It is much later that this Hind, the region, became associated with Hinduism, the religion, creating a complex interplay of river, region, and religion. As is the case for much of modern Pakistan, the Persian Gulf provided the main area of long-distance trade for the Harappans. Internally, South Balochistan, coastal and upper Sindh, Cholistan, the central Indus Plains, and Punjab were connected among themselves, as well as with neighbouring Rajasthan and Gujarat. Kutch and Kathiawar, in present-day India. Then there were the land routes connecting North Afghanistan with Multan via the Gomal Plain and the Takshila Valley, and South Iran with Mohenjo-daro via the Bolan River and the Quetta Valley. South Turkmenistan, the Oman Peninsula, Bahrain, and Mesopotamia have all yielded Harappan objects. Conversely, lapis lazuli from Afghanistan, jade from Turkmenistan, and tin from Kazakhstan were among Harappan imports during its mature phase from circa 2600 or 2500 BCE to circa 2000 or 1900 BCE. This, then, was clearly a thriving trading network along one sea route and two land routes, north to Afghanistan and West Asia, and south to Iran and Mesopotamia. Ancient Northwest India, which is largely in present-day northwest Pakistan, has historically been the gateway to the subcontinent via the Khyber Pass. Apart from Takshila, the other great city of the northwest was Chasada, located 29 kilometres from Peshawar in KP. Both Takshila and Chasada were strategically situated for trading and military purposes, with routes running towards the Kabul Valley via the Khyber Pass and the Kashmir Valley to Gilgit and Kashgar. Present-day Xinjiang, China. Chasada is the ancient city of Pushkalavati, or Pusuleotis, or Procles, whose people are said to have revolted against Alexander. Except for the British, most other entrants to the subcontinent have come through this corridor, and each has left an indelible mark on the landscape and the people. Subsequently, the Turks, Persians, Afghans, and Mongols left their traces, and in the process strengthened the links with Central Asia, bringing not only marauding armies and material trade, but also mixing the people culturally. Still later, Sikhism emerged here in the 16th century from the then-thriving wider Bhakti devotional theism movement in the Gangetic and Punjab plains. Thus, with the intermixed ancestry, as well as agriculture, customs, and concerns evident from the ancient and medieval histories of this region, the creation or cleansing of a mythical past for contemporary political convenience becomes problematic. It is both dangerous and difficult to read history backwards, if not impossible to undo centuries of intermingling with the drawing of a line in 1947 and barricading of the new border, although, alas, both sides seem to be making a mean and mighty attempt at it. Spread of Islam. The very idea of Pakistan was only possible with the spread of Islam into the subcontinent. In the year 606 CE, the present-day provinces of Punjab and Sindh were under the reign of Harshvardhan. He ruled until 648 CE, and a historical source for his period is the account given by the Chinese Buddhist pilgrim Xuanzang, Qian Hui, 602-664. Xuanzang spent 13 years travelling in the subcontinent, 630-644, having entered it in the time-honoured manner at Peshawar from Kabul. He went to Chasada and Takshila, Sialkot and Lahore, Multan and down the Indus to Sindh, before turning southeast. Upon his return, he wrote Datan Jiuji, a unique glimpse into the India of the early to mid-7th century, a time when an Arab naval expedition was arriving on the Sindh coastline, followed by attempts to conquer Makran, the semi-desert coastline of Balochistan. In 711-712, Muhammad bin Qasim, 695-715, the young nephew and son-in-law of Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, governor of Iraq, succeeded in capturing parts of Sindh and Multan from Raja Dahir, the Hindu ruler of Lower Sindh. For many, the history of Pakistan starts with this time and with Muhammad bin Qasim as the first Pakistani. Qasim's reign in the region was relatively short, at just 4 years, and only extended from Sindh to Multan along the Indus. Born in the city of Ta'if in present-day Saudi Arabia, Qasim was only 17 when he defeated Dahir in 712 CE. His legacy remains controversial, dividing opinion between those who view him as an invading plunderer who forcibly converted locals, and others who regard his period as establishing a way forward for Islam to thrive in the region. Those people not of the book were recognized as dhimmis, non-Muslim protected person, with some rights, and a jizya, tax, was levied on them, but they were allowed religious freedom, ultimately avoiding the need for mass conversions in order to rule over the subcontinent. Unlike Xuanzang's contemporaneous and eyewitness account, the description of events in the conquest of Sindh has otherwise survived in historical record through the 13th century Persian translation of an older Arabic history, the Chashnamah, which tells the story of the Hindu ruler of Sindh. These accounts provide an important insight into these early encounters between Hindus and Muslims, through which first colonial and now contemporary politics is often contested. For instance, James Mill's History of British India, compulsory reading for men going to serve in British India, presents Qasim as an invader who created ruptures and constituted a breaking point in the region's history. It is in the colonial period of the 18th and 19th centuries, during which a vast amount of literature was translated and recreated, that we begin to see the history of India being categorized and subdivided into the so-called Muslim period and Hindu period, which created lazy and often inaccurate periodization. British colonial rule was also a time of enormous socio-economic change and community rivalry, and tensions were heightened by this growing divisive literature, which turned individuals like Qasim into either definite heroes or villains in equal number. These early Arab incursions through the Arabian Peninsula were soon superseded by the more successful route of the Khyber Pass by the Turks. The Ghaznavid Empire thrived across parts of Iran, Afghanistan, parts of Central Asia, and northwest India. Founded by Sabuktigin, who ruled between 977 to 997, the Ghaznavid dynasty flourished from 977 to 1186 and started to spread the message of Islam into the subcontinent. It was during this time that Al-Biruni, 973-1050, one of the greatest medieval scholars and polymaths, accompanied Mahmud of Ghazni, 971-1030, in his famous campaigns to the subcontinent. Starting his travels in 1017, Al-Biruni composed Kitab al-Hind, which is an extensive exposition of medieval India and considered to be a foundational work of Indology. This rich and varied heritage, from the ancient Indus Valley to the medieval Indology of Al-Biruni, has, however, been somewhat of a burden for modern Pakistan studies, a state enterprise that has framed the production of history in the country since 1971, that is, since the severance of its eastern wing. Its revisionism shows the uneasy meeting of the ancient and the medieval in modern Pakistan, with its aim to showcase a particular, homogeneous and monolithic nation. But regimes receive, and peoples perceive, myth, memory and history, often differently, if not at odds with each other. Thus, the regional diversities born out of the plural trajectories of 5,000 years of history of the area now called Pakistan are difficult to erase completely.